Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Our guest today, David Lane, CEO of ShoeWin. It's the largest available ticket reservation marketplace, and he'll talk more about that. It's a great concept. David, thanks for being our guest today.
Good to be here, Derek.
I had the opportunity to see you at the Players Impact event in Nashville when you were presenting your product, and I was impressed with what you guys are doing and great numbers, and just thought I would really want to talk to you and have our listeners learn more from you as well. If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey. Tell us just a little bit about you, who you are, what you're about, and we'd love to get to know you better.
Sure. So I've been a serial entrepreneur my whole career. I look for unique opportunities in saturated spaces, highly competitive spaces, or bringing new products or services to market within organizations that are trying to diversify what they're doing currently or have a strong legacy in a specific industry, and they are ready to take on with managed risk, a new offering. And so those are really the opportunities that get me excited and that I have been involved with my entire career. First company that I thought I was going to have enormous success with is I had created a technology to put televisions inside of subway and rail systems across mass transit and subway systems here in the U.S., inventor of several patents for that technology. And that moment for me was really about finding great audiences captive for periods of time where they were looking for content to be delivered that didn't exist. And so, you know, from that type of organization to in-venue media and entertainment to commercial broadband and communication services, I have really crossed my career even to today in the sports and ticketing business, have found success across multiple industries. And so the challenges and the path to get here, as I'm sure your audience knows, is both highs and lows. The sky is always falling. And I try to encourage my teams at every moment that I can assure you the sun will rise tomorrow. We will have another chance to get it right.
Well, and I appreciate the way you summed that up, because I could tell that, you know, the way you did that in 2 minutes was 2 decades of learning, right?
Very much so. Very much
so. So I love it. So I'll share a few highlights. You're a VP of Telnet, Mid-Atlantic Region, then TSI Broadband. You're CEO for that, CEO of the Rail Network, VP for Digital Media North America, CBS Outdoor, VP Business Development, TouchTunes, Tangerine Senior VP, VP of FanDuel, advisor to CEO for TapTech. You've got a great resume. Let's roll right into, though, the product that I got to see you introduce, which was very impressive. Let's talk about ShoeWin, how that idea came about, and then give us an idea about the scope and growth of the company.
Sure. So if you are a sports fan, you at some point in your life have had the moment where your team has made the biggest game. And that is a playoff championship game where you either had expected them to be there or suddenly they are there and you need to be at that game. Mm. So ShoeWin was created to give every fan of every team the ability to reserve a ticket to any postseason game they want. And if their team makes that game, they get the tickets. It's that simple. We look at the marketplace today, and I'm a sports fan. I'm a diehard Washington Capitals fan, and have been grew up in Maryland, Washington Redskins, Washington Wizards, and Yankees on baseball. And there are moments in all of our lives where your team has finally proven themselves and made that game. And I have been sitting on the outside watching as people experience a once-in-a-lifetime moment. You never tell the story of the team winning the game when you sat on your couch and watched it on TV. But for years, generations, if you are at the game when they win and at the buzzer, at the championship, whatever it might be, you tell that story to anybody for years and years to come. And that's really what Shoewin was created to do. So the marketplace that is out and available today, pro, NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL, all college football and basketball and Final Four, any fan, any team, choose the team that they want. And if that team makes that game, they're getting the tickets.
And you're picking this early in the year, almost like an insurance. Is that how it works?
Very much so. All year long. You know, our markets open up 11 months prior to the game actually happening. So we have fans of teams that discover us for the first time or have been a customer of ours that have locked in, you know, CFP tickets, you know, Milwaukee Brewers World Series home game 3 tickets. You know, we have across every sport fans that just want to have that insurance that, you know, the moment that the team wins is probably the most stressful moment in a fan's life. You are racing to the secondary sites. You're looking for tickets. Who's going with you? Are you going to get a flight to the game? Who's around next Saturday to go? All of that anxiety is eliminated here. And I had discovered this company prior to joining it from FanDuel years ago. And I, as a Washington Capitals fan, I had reserved Washington Capitals postseason tickets. So I knew what the business opportunity really was. And I just saw such enormous potential for us, and joined in June of 2017 as its CEO.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that. I, we kind of glazed over some of the things you learned. I want to hear more about the growth, but I also want to hear about, you know, when you talk about early on with the technology and the railways and things like that, tell me about some of the ways you've been able to pivot and see the market change and be able to go with it, because you've done really well of staying ahead and understanding large customer bases and what the consumer demand is and how to fulfill it. That's a unique ability to do. And you didn't, you know, you found a way to pivot and go with it. What are some key takeaways for you there? Because that to me is a magic elixir that you've somehow found to be able to do.
Well, I think that, you know, for your audience, anybody that is a founder of a company, we all have blinders on. And I think the greatest fault that founders have is that we never see clearly enough that the blinders have to come off, and we ignore the learnings or the warning signs that are in front of us, and we go down a path that causes irreparable harm to your organization. And that is the number one failure of founders. And for those that have that failure, they now see it. And so for me, in my very first company called TSI, that company was in a very unique commercial broadband space, and we were going public, and I was in the Middle East raising $40 million for an IPO, and we were part of the dot-com wave. And as the dot-com bubble burst, and again, keep in mind, this is my very first experience in a unicorn type of rise. Wow. When the market fell out from underneath me, everyone abandoned us, and we were forced into a liquidation. And that, to me, was obviously my greatest learning. And unless you go through that moment and you are tested, that you can actually remember that tomorrow's another day, but don't ignore the warning signs. Pivoting a business, altering your strategy, recognizing a unique opportunity within what you're already doing, you have got to be open and willing to accept that you're wrong. Right. And that is probably the number one lesson I tell anyone that I talk to that's trying to start a business, is remove the blinders.
the probably the best advice I agree that I've ever heard. I've had 9 companies and I've failed at 4 of them or learned from 4 of them. And I could see where I made mistakes. A lot of times it happened with me of not bringing the right kind of help around me or not being willing. I just got in my own way. I had my ego in the way. You said something really profound. You said, you know, that was my biggest lesson. And what you shared sounds like a disaster. And I'm sure the day of and during that time, it was a big moment in time for you. Looking back, you say that was my biggest lesson. But how do you get the right people around you? Or how do you know, you know, because we don't know what we don't know. So, you know, to put our ego at the door, that's one thing. But how do you get the right people around you? What are things you've done so that you can have people point out ways to pivot and adjust?
Yeah, well, I look for leadership and management that have had experiences with smaller entities or divisions within large organizations, individuals that have managed through crisis, individuals that have managed through adversity. I really do appreciate the person that has tried and failed. I think that skill set is impossible to teach. It is an emotional feeling that you must go through so you understand the gravity of what happens if you are wrong, and it shows that you can pull yourself out of it, because it is going to happen. It is inevitable you are going to be wrong. It is inevitable that we are all going to fail at some point in the path that we think we are right on, and the sooner we're able to acknowledge it and modify our approach, the faster we'll be able to overcome it and succeed. Yeah. And so that's the type of quality that I look for in the people that I, not only that I work with, the people that we partner with, because you have a lot of partners, third-party vendors, affiliates that, you know, you rely on their success for your own success.
Right.
And so you try to sort of follow through, whether it's an internal admin or whether it's the CEO of your biggest vendor. You look for that quality.
Man, that's great advice. I've never heard it framed quite that way. I really appreciate you sharing that. You talk sometimes about all the no's, 100 no's for every yes. Tell me about perseverance and that side of growing a business.
Well, I give you a great example. So my very first idea, which I never actually followed through because I didn't have enough confidence, was to put televisions in elevators and sell advertising around that. And this was back in 95 that I left this communications company that I was working for with this idea. And I came up to New York and we pitched a large ad agency here in New York that, you know, looked at me across the table and said, never, no one will ever buy advertising in an elevator. No one will ever look at that as value. And I didn't have enough confidence in myself. And it really, you know, discouraging to say the least, but in hindsight, you know, you look at the success of that concept, and it gives you confidence that if you just trust yourself, if you really do believe, and and the blinders are off, like I talked about earlier,
right,
that you just have to keep driving towards the goal, and eventually, whatever is wrong, you'll get right, and then other people will begin to believe alongside of you. And then from there, it's about execution. And that's you know, the number one requirement in any organization is execution. Focus, discipline, get to the goals, make sure you achieve them.
And it's also it's also a hard one to stay focused on.
It is because of the shiny object moment,
right,
that all of the founders and the risk takers out there, you know, and it's one of my greatest faults as well, is you see that shiny object and you immediately get anxious that you're missing an opportunity, and then you start to allocate resources and distract from where the goals, what you have already set and established that you have to achieve. So you have to say to yourself, you have to recognize it's a shiny object. You have to recognize whether or not it really is worth the effort. And before you start bringing a team or resources to it, vet it out yourself. You know, don't just have an idea, throw it on your team and pull them off of something else to go after it. Spend the time, do the research, get the basic principles in place, and then make the determination whether it's worth pursuing.
Yeah, that's great advice. I share often. I've had the opportunity to audit and review over 2,500 brands now with our marketing company, and commonly one of the five crisis points we find is on that execution side, when something didn't work or when it wasn't done consistently, or the shiny objects came through, and when the leader has shiny object syndrome, it makes it really tough for the team to be consistent with execution and follow when there's being new ideas thrown. And I found these with mid-size and small entrepreneurial type companies that can happen easily too. It's easy to pivot, but it's also easy to get distracted.
No question. You can ask my team. I am absolutely, and I bring shiny objects to us all the time. Don't misinterpret my comments that I am above it. It is part of our nature. We love to think that we're seeing what's next. It really also is important that you just have to remember you've set the goals, get to where you're supposed to be before you start to pivot.
That's great advice. And you're aware of it, and that's important. And that self-awareness is really critical. You talk about staying the course when the time is right, the concept comes to fruition. You talked about that a little bit earlier. I know that someone, I've interviewed companies where it took them 20 years to get something off the ground. They just believed in it so strongly they kept going. And where others might have said, that's not smart, go move on to something else. When have you found is the right time to stay the course because you believe in it? And when's the time to move on to a different direction?
I think the numbers always tell the story. In every investor meeting or conference that I'm at, or leadership team meeting that I'm in, we all may have a view or an opinion, but if the numbers don't back it up, it is not real. And so I very much rely on the financials. If you are not seeing after a period of time, you've got an R&D period, you've got to go to market strategy. Once you start testing market demand and pricing and leverage that you have for this concept or service, if the financials do not start to perform and you are not seeing the numbers to support your thesis that this is a good idea, you have got to make yourself take a step back and start to do the analysis of, do we need to pivot? Is it a revision? Or do we have the wrong approach? Or is this just not a good idea? And that, we talk about the founder's blinders. That is the number one fault. We don't recognize where it actually is not a good idea. And we just continue to drive and drive and drive. And listen, a lot of great small and mid-sized companies exist. They don't have to become unicorns. Mm. They don't have to get bought for $100 million. They can pay the bills, and small businesses across this country, which make this country great, were built on an idea that just happens to get to a certain level, and that's where it's going to stay. And right. That makes the founders happy. That keeps his 5 to 10 employees thrilled to be a part of a small organization, because they get to be a part of something and make a difference. And it's a family and it's a community. And so I think that the piece of this, to circle back on the answer to your question, I always, always end up relying on those numbers. Financials, to me, are the absolute behind the curtain decision point for everything that we do.
Man, such gold in what you're sharing. I truly appreciate it. I want to ask you a couple more questions. First, any other leadership or business development advice that stands out to you? Maybe the top lessons you've learned over the last couple of years, whatever stands out to you as the biggest piece of advice maybe you'd wish you'd known several years ago?
Mentorship. Relying upon the experience of others, asking for help. The biggest mistake that I have ever made is there were so many people that said, ask, I can help. Do you need anything? Why don't you throw this by me? Want me to review anything? And my blinders put me in a position early on in my career that I felt I could just do this. I can do it myself. I can pull this off. I can overcome adversity. I'm going to get people to believe. And if I had to go back in time or could advise anybody that's listening to this interview, I would tell you that ask for help. Let somebody give you some criticism. Don't be afraid to be wrong. And that is going to help you checks and balances before you get too far down the road to be able to see what you personally cannot. And that mentorship and reaching out is the number one mistake that I made in my career.
Great advice. Yeah, I was at the Scale Up Summit a few weeks ago there in Atlanta, and one of the speakers was talking about a study they did where basically the result of the study was that these leaders would rather be wrong and intentionally pick the wrong advice rather than take advice of someone that had a different political view than them. And the study was showing that sometimes we intentionally even pay to go down the wrong path so that it aligns with our existing thinking. And to be willing to go the other direction, have someone speak into you and mentor you and tell you something that is the opposite of what you were thinking is important as well. But a lot of times as entrepreneurs, in the early days anyway, before we've got some of the scars, I always enjoyed holding my cards close, and I didn't overly collaborate, didn't incubate, didn't have mentors. And I kind of took pride in putting it all on my shoulders and getting across the finish line somehow, which is great in a way, but I also, that's where I can find the most of my mistakes too. And my failures.
That's right. Yeah. Listen, it's a common trait in all of us, especially in the industries that we exist in today. It is open to being able to sit in a room with no windows. You don't have to work, collaborate. You can literally think you can do this alone. You can't.
Yeah. Great advice. Thanks for sharing that. Great reminder. Let's go back. We've got just another 2 minutes here. I'd like to talk a little bit more about your product. Again, your cost of tickets and reservations, almost 30% less than similar tickets on what would be perceived as competition. Tell me, just give me some more of the concept, some more of those highlights of numbers and wins and number of people using your services. And I'd just love to hear a few more highlights.
Yeah, sure. If you're a sports fan and you are thinking, let's wait till the playoffs, and then when the team wins the game that gets them into that next round, that you're going to just rush to the website and you're willing to just pay three times the amount, and you're going to be scrambling for seats, and you're going to go through that moment as a real fan, not somebody who thinks that sitting on the couch is the same as being there in the game with, 50,000 of your fellow diehard crazed fans. Our platform, Shoein, is created exactly to solve all of that anxiety. And I think that when you look at the prices, they start at $5. They go up into $200 depending upon the team and the game. But, for example, $140, you could buy Alabama in the college football playoff championship on the site. If they make the game, and there's a likelihood that they will, that's all you're going to pay. Wow. If Alabama makes the CFP, the only price you pay is the reservation itself for that individual game. And so when we talk about the cost of the tickets, almost 95% of our games are what's called ticket zero, which is the reservation is all you pay, and then you get the ticket at no additional cost. The CFP is an individual game, the Big 12 championship, the Big 10, where you're actually reserving at a far lower price. And then when the team makes the game, you just pay face value. But NBA, NHL, MLB, you could buy World Series reservations starting at $30 right now on the site for so many teams. Wow. And if your team makes the World Series, to get the ticket for $30 is remarkable. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. I love it. So any other highlights? What's coming up next for you guys? Anything else you want to promote or share?
We have a bunch of new enhancements and services that are being brought to market here in the next 45 days. Mm-hmm. You'll hear a lot from us. I think, college football and NFL are our strengths. And for fans that are out there, at some point you have to believe that your team has a chance of making the wild card game, the first round, the Fiesta Bowl. You have to believe. And so I would just encourage all of the real sports fans out there that if you really do believe your team is going to go, that for such a low price, you can make sure that you're at a once in a lifetime moment.
Yeah. Awesome. And we've got many listeners on our ESPN broadcast on Sundays that this will air as well. Shoein.com Any social media plugs you want to share as well, David?
At Shewin across all Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can follow us there. I think, you know, the website, going to showin.com, all of the games are available all year long. You'll be able to buy 11 months ahead, and you'll know for the entire year. You don't even have to worry. You're real fans. We're going to the game.
Man, great service, great concept. David Lane, CEO of Shewin, entrepreneur, sharing his success tips today. Shewin.com or at Shewin. David, thanks again for being our guest, and I look forward to seeing the next great things that you guys are rolling out.
Sounds good. Thanks, Derek. Talk to you soon. Talk soon.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.